Good morning to you all. Welcome to those who are here in person to worship with us. Good morning and welcome to those who are joining us on the live stream. And I guess hello and welcome to any who may join this via the internet at a later time. We pray that each one of us may be drawn more closely into the presence of God and that our faith may be built. We're continuing with our series of questions that Jesus asked, and today we consider the question, has no one condemned you? And Jeff will be unpacking that question later on in the service. But we aren't Christians just for Sundays, and so as we go through the week, on Wednesday, 7 p.m. here in church, we have a quiet hour, the waiting room. Those of you who've been before will know just how valuable it is. And if you want to know more about the waiting room on Wednesday, talk to one of us at the end of the service. And then, of course, on Thursday, it's a less quiet space as the doors open and we invite children to come to Messy Church. Yes, that is not a quiet space. And then next weekend will be our Harvest Festival, and we would like the church decorated suitably for harvest, and that will happen on Saturday morning. Donations, as it says, would be much appreciated. The collection, the harvest collection this year will be taken to Malvern Hills Food Bank, and there was a suggestion that if you can bring your harvest donation on the Saturday morning, it will make it nice and easy to include it in the harvest display. Obviously, you can still bring it on Sunday morning as well and increase the display at that point. So, Saturday, setting up for harvest, and Sunday, Harvest Festival. There will be more than just the normal coffee and biscuits at the end. I'm told there will be coffee and cake. And donations for the food bank. Next week at that harvest service, Dave will be here and will be our preacher. And then the harvest lunch, we will have our normal lunch together on the 8th of October. So the harvest service is just a couple of weeks before the harvest lunch. Next Sunday evening, Deepa will be here at 6 o'clock. Another time to worship. And then looking a little bit further forward, on Saturday the 7th of October, the big quiz night. I'm fairly certain that that's the National Tear Fund big quiz night. St Andrews, 7 o'clock, Saturday the 7th of October. And going even further forward, on Saturday the 14th of October at St Andrews in the morning, we have prayer ministry training, and you are encouraged not only to attend, but if you are able to come to that, which promises to be a really good morning, there's a sign-up sheet at the back of church, or it can be done online via the websites. End of notices. And back to today's question from Jesus, has no one condemned you? And I guess the good news is that whatever our failings, Jesus does not condemn us either. We have been forgiven. And so as we come to worship, let's pray together and say, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. So now let's stand, if we are able, and praise God with all people who on earth do dwell. Would you like to sit down or kneel as we come to a time of confession? And we remember that our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Amen. Lord, have mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. So let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all, as we say together: Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon each one of us. Pardon and deliver us from our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. By way of a creed this morning, we're going to sing. You'll recognise the tune, and we have sung it before, so I think it'll be familiar to most of you, as we stand and sing, I Believe in God the Father. If you'd like to sit down, Kathleen will come and read to us.
Today's reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verses 1 to 11, but I'll start just at the end of chapter 7. And it can be found on page 1073, if you're following. Then each went to his own home, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered round him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, Those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left, with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray for a moment. Heavenly Father, please will you take my words and speak through them? Will you take our minds and think through them? Take our hearts and fill them full of the desire to please you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Prime Minister's Questions, which you can see on the TV on a Wednesday lunchtime, and it's usually a rowdy and tumultuous affair when the opposition parties get the opportunity to fire off questions at the other side, and those questions very often hide a barb designed to wound or humiliate the other side. There's a lot of hostility and there's a lot of scorn, and the speaker often has a job keeping order, order. Well, that's something like the scene before us this morning in John chapter 8. Jesus is under attack from the Jewish leaders. Now, some versions of the Bible don't actually have this story, and others have it bracketed off or printed in italics. And there's always a note saying, as there is in our Bible, "The earliest manuscripts and other ancient witnesses do not have this account." And in some Bibles it appears in Luke's Gospel. Does it really fit here? Well, many people think it's a very good fit here, because in John chapter 7, we can see that the opposition to Jesus is growing and growing. And by the end of chapter 8, we read, the Jewish leaders picked up stones to stone Jesus. And we know this incident was manufactured by the Jewish leaders. They were using their question to trap Jesus, to have a basis for accusing him. They suspected, you see, that he might be lenient to this woman. And if he was, they would say, "You're contradicting the law of Moses. We're told that she should be stoned." They could get him on that, they thought. But Jesus saw through their malicious intentions, and he turns the tables so remarkably with his stunning riposte, "Let those who are without sin cast the first stone." And then, of course, as you can see from this painting by William Blake, they can't get out of the door fast enough. Whatever it was that Jesus wrote on the ground with his finger, it shifted the shame onto them. They wanted to condemn Jesus. They wanted to condemn this woman. They went out themselves condemned for hypocrisy. And where, you might ask, was the man in all of this? You see, the law prescribed exactly the same penalty for the man as it did for the woman in these cases. But somehow or another, he's got let off. And anyway, what were they doing spying on this couple? Well, Jesus made them feel the shame. And it angered them so much, they were absolutely determined that they would kill him. So, as an example of hypocrisy and condemnation, actually, I think this story fits rather well in John's Gospel. But it fits for another more important reason, too, because it reveals to us something of the character of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is very important for John and is very important for you and I. Back in chapter 1, in the first 18 verses of John, which is sometimes known as the prologue, Jesus paints a portrait. John paints a portrait of Jesus that he then unpacks through the rest of the gospel. And verse 14 of John 1 is absolutely key. The Word became flesh, made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And it's these two words, grace and truth, that so beautifully sum up the character of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this incident with this woman illustrates it perfectly. Grace, because he says, I do not condemn you, but truth, because he says, go and sin no more. In contrast to those religious leaders and their hypocritical condemnation, Jesus does not condemn us for our sinful behavior, but he doesn't hide the fact that it is sin. He doesn't condone it. He simply says, go and sin no more. Now, we might think that the way to get people to leave their life of sin, to sin no more, is to condemn them and punish them. And that's what the religious leaders thought. And many people today think that way. But that is the way of force. And the way of Jesus is always the way of grace. And in actual fact, the way of grace is a good deal more effective than the way of force. Grace is always more powerful than violence. There's a story told of a Kenyan gamekeeper whose job it was to protect the wild animals on a game reserve from poachers. And one day he was out in the bush in his jeep and he saw a notorious poacher being mauled by a lion. And because of the reputation this poacher had, he could well have just stepped back and allowed the lion to kill this man. But instead he jumped out of his jeep, took a rifle, shot in the air above the lion, scared it away and ran over to this man who was bleeding to death. And he bound up his wounds and he picked him up and he put him on his jeep and drove him back to the village he came from, to his wife. And he stayed there 2 days getting medical help to save this man's life. And then he went home. A few weeks later, he was sitting on the veranda in the cool of the day. And he noticed a little group of people approaching. And as they drew nearer, he realized it was this poacher and his wife and children and his parents. And the poacher knelt down on the steps of the veranda and said, "You saved my life. So now I give my life back to you to do whatever you wish. I and my family, we are at your disposal now." And the gamekeeper thought for a while, and then he said to this poacher, "Ah," he said, "well, I'm actually looking for a tracker who will help me find the poachers who are devastating the animals on the reserve. I think you'd be rather good at that job." So the poacher became tracker and helped to save the animals he'd once killed for profit. Grace inspires people to face the truth about themselves and to long to change. Now, we don't know what happened to this woman, but the implication is that she did leave her life of sin. Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ blesses you and I with his grace and his truth, you know, he really does expect us to treat other people with grace and with truth. With both, you see, because some of us are inclined to treat people with rather a lot of grace and no truth, and others with a lot of truth and no grace. John Stott, that great teacher, once said, "If you want a balanced Christian life, you must use grace and truth in equal measure. Because some folk, they're so full of grace and love and kindness and compassion, they never bother about the truth. Oh, anything goes. We'll allow anything to love people," they say. "And there are others," said John Stott, who are so passionate for the truth, for keeping the law and doing the right thing, they have no grace. Well, they are too hard. You need both to live a balanced Christian life. I like to think of it like a bicycle with two wheels. If you remove one of the wheels, you won't be able to ride. Whichever one you remove, we need both, really, to treat others with grace and with truth. But of course, that's not easy. It wasn't easy for Jesus, and it's not easy for us, because some people's behavior really gets under our skin, and sometimes we show it to them. And if they don't change, we often write them off, or we say, oh, well, let's be liberal. Let them do what they like. It doesn't matter. Either we treat them too harshly or too softly. But if we can possibly refrain from condemnation and at the same time show that we don't approve of what they're doing, there's a much better chance of them changing. Somebody who experienced grace and truth was a little boy called Jimmy. He was 14 years old, and he was apprenticed to this man, Thomas Edison, who is credited with inventing the first working light bulb, although, of course, we know he built on the work of others. But at any rate, one day he completed that little light bulb, and he called to his apprentice, Jimmy, and he said, Jimmy, take this in your hands, carry it upstairs, and pop it on my study table for me. Well, Jimmy was rather a hot-headed young man, and he took the stairs two at a time, tripped at the top, and completely smashed the light bulb. Edison apparently was quite upset by that, but he never said a word. Instead, he just got on, made another light bulb. And then he called to his apprentice, Jimmy, and he said, Jimmy, take this upstairs, put it on my study table, and Jimmy, go slowly this time. How many times has the good Lord been grieved by my behavior, and yet still, in grace and truth, he says to me what he said to that woman, I do not condemn you, I do not condemn you, but go and sin no more. Should I not show that to others as he shows it to me? So this story in John chapter 8 is very important. It shows us two of the chief characteristics of our Lord Jesus Christ. But it's important for one other reason as well, because it shows us so clearly how the Lord Jesus Christ takes away the sin of the world. In John's Gospel, early on, we hear John the Baptist saying, Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Well, how does he do it? You've only got to look here at this account. What does Jesus do in order that this woman may go free? He puts himself in the firing line. They picked up stones not to stone her, but to stone him. Jesus has put himself in the firing line for you and I. It was reported on the news a few weeks ago, and I'll finish with this, that a 46-year-old police officer, Graham Saville, had been called out to help a distressed man on some railway tracks in Nottingham. Graham was hit by a train as he tried to save this man. He died of his injuries a few days later in hospital. The man who he saved survived. And the chief constable said, Graham's sacrifice will never be forgotten. The sacrifice that Jesus made for you and I will never be forgotten. He put himself in the firing line so that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we begin to understand more and more what it was you did for us when you came into the world, to put yourself in the firing line that we may go free. Thank you for your grace. But thank you too for the truth about ourselves that you show us, and help us to go from here and sin no more. Amen.
We certainly are not going to let go of the truth, but we are going to stand and reflect on that wonderful grace. would you like to sit or kneel? And Paul is going to come and lead us in prayers.
Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear us when we pray in faith. We give thanks for the freedom we have to worship you this morning and pray that we will use that freedom to help you build your kingdom here in Malvern, in our country and around the world. We especially ask you to bless young Christians and those exploring a faith in you. They will be the lifeblood of your future church, and we ask that they may be encouraged, strengthened, and inspired by your Holy Spirit. And we pray for our own young children, for those who come to Messy Church and their families, for those who meet at Toddlers, and for the families that come to Early Birds. Help us to nurture and support them. And we ask you to bless our children and families' leaders, Helen and Ruth, and those from our church family that support them in running the children's activities. And we pray too for Liz and the youth team at St Andrews, and thank you that our church is blessed with a strong youth membership. And as we advertise once more for a youth worker, we pray, Lord, that the person that you want for that key role will see the advert, that you will speak to them, that they will be drawn to apply for the role, and that we will know that they are the person you have chosen to work with the youth of our town. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. This past week has seen some terrible natural disasters, especially in North Africa. We pray for the poor souls who lost their lives in the earthquake in Morocco and the devastating flood in Libya. We pray for the families and friends they left behind and ask you to ease their grief. Thousands of people have lost everything, and it is difficult to comprehend how they can rebuild their lives, their homes and their livelihoods. We pray that the authorities in those countries will not be too proud to accept help from outside as they struggle to deal with the aftermath, to provide shelter, food, clean water and medical help, but above all, hope. And we pray especially for Libya, where the legacy of warring factions makes it even harder to coordinate effective help and prevent the outbreak of disease. May the leaders there put aside their differences and be united by an overriding desire to help their citizens in such dire need. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In our own country, where the cost of living crisis has put real pressure on those least able to withstand it, we pray for those seeking to help the poor and the needy. Save the Children calculate that 14.5 million people in the UK live in poverty. That's a staggering 22% of the population. And of those, 4.3 million are children. For many, each day is an existence and not a life. And for the children, it can be a vicious circle that leads them to poverty in adulthood. It's reckoned that over 7 in 10 of the poorest families are going without essentials, and this has led directly to an increased dependency on food banks. So we pray for all the food banks around the country, and especially our own food bank in Malvern, for those who manage it and help run it. We pray for the work of the Trussell Trust and for those organisations who secure a regular supply of food for the food banks. And in our own parishes, we pray for the work at the Octagon to provide help to those struggling for the coffee shop and for the community pantry, and ask you to bless all those who help in that ministry. And we pray that our government will become intolerant of poverty in our country and take effective action to help those in most need. And as we try to follow the example of Jesus in our lives, we ask you to stir in our hearts, Lord, a love and care for those in most need in our society. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we pray for those who are sick or receiving treatment, and for those recovering from treatment, especially asking you to bless Shirley from our worshipping community. And we pray for those from our church family who are physically unable to come to church, particularly holding Frank, Shirley Noble, Janice and Sheila up to you this morning, Lord. And in a moment of silence, we bring before you in our hearts those known only to us who are in need of your healing and love. Bless all who are anxious or distressed. Comfort and relieve them in their need, and bring good out of their troubles. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And as we hear today about freedom from condemnation, we ask you, Lord, to help us perceive our own sin and free us from the tendency to judge and condemn. Fill us instead with a heart full of mercy, grace, and truth towards all. And we say together, Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
The truth is that none of us are perfect. Nevertheless, Jesus goes on loving imperfect people. So we'll stand and sing, Jesus, take me as I am. we are the body of Christ. In the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Let us then pursue all that makes for peace and builds up our common life. The peace of the Lord be always with you and also with you. You may like to share that peace with those around you.
Just before we share communion together, I'm going to repeat the notice I gave out 2 weeks ago in response to the bishop's request that all the churches in the diocese go back to administering communion in the way we used to before COVID, sharing one cup, which we call the common cup. And we're going to try and do that here today. And we're also going to go back to using bread for communion, not wafers. We should be using gluten-free pita bread. However, because some of us still have concerns about using a common cup, we're also going to offer wafer dips in a cup by the clergy, as we have been doing for over a year. Now, if you wish to receive communion as a wafer, which I shall dip in a cup and hand to you, then we ask you to come up to the communion rail first. And then when everyone's received in that way who wants to, then if you'd like to have a piece of gluten-free bread, pita bread, and to drink from the wine, we ask you to come up second. We'll be reviewing this later on. So it's a bit of an experiment. So we ask for your patience. Thank you very much. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love you made us for yourself, and when we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children, and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ you shared our life that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. On the night he was betrayed at supper with his friends, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. At the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. As we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit, that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ our risen Lord. With your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of praise and lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you. Feed on him in your hearts, by faith with thanksgiving. Those who wish to receive a wafer dipped in wine, may we ask you to come forward first, and then we shall distribute the bread and give you the cup in the second wave. Thank you.
Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. And our final hymn reminds us that in all things, Jesus has won the victory. Christ triumphant, ever reigning. Lord, you have given us so many things, and we offer you these tokens to be used to build your kingdom, to give glory to you, in Jesus' name. Amen. And so, may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among us and remain with us always. Amen. So go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen. In the name of Christ. Amen. If you would like personal prayer for any situation or person, there are people at the back ready to pray with you. If you just need coffee and biscuits, there's coffee and biscuits at the front. Have a good week.